Hello and welcome. I'm Richard from the Veg Grab Podcast, and this is episode 136, and it is titled Another Shed Light Solution. And today is the 22nd of October 2017. Now, coming up today, I have the usual diary with what's been happening in this last week on my plots, which it includes what seeds I've sown and what progress I've made on the allotment. And then I've got a little product review that I've been testing for a few weeks, which is basically a solar-powered shed light. And a couple of months ago, you may recall, I talked about the Philips Lifelight. But these haven't been for sale for quite a while, so I searched for another solution. And I have this one that I have tested for you. But before that, let's get on and talk about the diary. So let's get on and talk about what's been happening on the plots this last week. Well, really, basically, during the week, I've not been able to do all that much in the evenings when I get home from work. Just kind of watering a few plants and seedlings and mainly in the greenhouse or the shed. This is because it's getting dark about 6:30 now. So, yeah, it's not making a huge amount of time in the evenings for various jobs. However, I have been noting that the green manures that I sowed a couple of weeks ago, they've mostly sprouted and growing very, very well. The mustard in particular seems to have grown the best. Although at the moment it's still seed leaves and I'm waiting for the true leaves to really appear. The ryegrass, it's grown and it's grown quite tall, but it's kind of sparse. And I'm not sure why this is. I did sow it fairly thickly, although one of the chickens did get in there and eat the seeds. It could be that, or perhaps I needed to sow it even thicker. Friday night, as I started on cool, and I spent a weekend waiting to get called out. Saturday, I started sorting through my wood pile, just sorting all the woods, all the different planks into their relevant sizes, so I had a rough idea what I had and what I needed. I then painted a few more planks for the allotment. I then went into my potting shed and sown some seeds. And I sown some parsley and some dill, because herbs like that can be sown all year round, and I like to try and keep a good selection of herbs on the go. I also sown some broccoli Rab 60, which is the broccoli that's ready in 60 days. We'll see how that goes. That would be sown end of September, October, end of November, I suppose. And then there's also some choy sum that I've sown, which is kind of an oriental green, which again, being the cooler weather, it kind of likes it. Now, the seeds that I sown last week, they've all sprouted, so I've opened the air vents in the propagator to get the air flowing a bit better for them. They're growing strong and will soon need potting up. I spent a bit more time tidying the veg patch, and I've also sown a few more green manures just to get a bit more space. Green manured, I guess, would be the term. I then spent some time in the greenhouse and I took down all my tomatoes due to blight. These tomatoes actually produced very well, but the blight has just got so bad that they all had to go. So I've cut them all down. I've saved all the tomatoes that were still good, left some on a tray in the greenhouse to ripen, and we brought the rest into the kitchen and we'll be eating those up. Now the stalks themselves will be burnt. And yeah, that's the tomatoes basically taken care of at home. However, while I was clearing the tomatoes, I noticed underneath a water butt I have in the greenhouse, seemed to be a large amount of leaves, and these weren't the type of leaves that you find in a greenhouse. It turned out there was a hedgehog nest there. So I've left that be. I'm quite happy to have hedgehogs in the greenhouse. In fact, it's answered why I have noticed that I had very few slugs and snails in the greenhouse. After all, hedgehogs do like slugs and snails, so that can live there all it likes. And it's basically dug a tunnel under the greenhouse for access. So I may have to make a tube or something for it so I can live with it quite happily and get on well with this. I'm really happy with these hedgehogs being in there, if I'm honest. I've left them some food just to encourage them. The hedgehog food from a garden centre, and that should keep them very, very happy. Then on Sunday, I headed down the allotment, and as always, I started with a quick walk around and just checking everything over. I then strimmed all the grass areas that I could. I then started hoeing the empty beds. Now, this is fine on the beds that I've put loads of compost and manure in. However, the beds that are still the natural soil, the soil is very, very sticky. It's wet and clay, so it sticks, and it's really hard to pass the hoe through. So I may have to pack in the hoe on those particular areas for the time being until it dries out a bit. I think I reported on this last year, so it's not unusual. Some of the garlic that I planted last week has been pulled out by birds. I'm not sure if it was definitely birds, but that's the likely culprit. I've popped the ones that were pulled out back in. Roots had already started to develop on these garlic cloves. And some of the garlic has even started to sprout and grow its green tops. And that's within a week of planting. So that's very, very good. Should mean I'll get a good lot of garlic growing before winter really sets in. Now, I decided it was time to get rid of my Crimson Crush tomatoes. Now, these tomatoes have done really, really well with me, for me. Again, they were still growing. They're still producing tomatoes. And I recommend these Crimson Crush no matter what. But where they were growing, I need that area to get ready for the raspberry and strawberry beds. So they had to go, and I've cut them down. I've kept, again, all the good tomatoes. If I'm honest, the plants themselves got blown over in the strong winds, so they weren't in the best condition anyway. And they also got kind of lost in the weeds. So I will be growing Crimson Crush again next year. I've actually saved some seeds as an experiment. I'll be buying seeds as well. In fact, I saw Muddy Boots the other day say he's probably only going to grow Crimson Crush. And I can completely agree with him as to why. Because I've sung my praises about these tomatoes so many times. Everything else gets blight. These do get it, but they just kind of shrug it off. They just go with it. So, yeah, it's sad to get rid of them now, but I had to. But we've seen now with the Crimson Crush tomatoes, I managed to construct more of the raspberry and strawberry bed. Now, this is obviously on the newer half of the plot, which I'm finally getting my plans together on what I'm gonna really do with it. But with the raspberry and strawberry bed is mostly constructed. I've got a few little bits of wood to add here and there, but it's basically I can start filling it with manure and compost, and then get the strawberry plants are moving from what I've already got, and in November I'm expecting the raspberries, so they'll be ready to get those in. Now, After completing this, it started to rain, so I headed home in much need of a nice strong coffee and a bit of lunch. And while I was at home, I just kind of checked through my seeds and kind of stored away some of the seeds that I've saved from this year's crops. I've saved some pumpkin seeds, some tomato seeds, both the Crimson Crush and the Mountain Magic. I then cleaned the chickens and called it a day. So that is the diary taken care of. So let's talk about this shed light that I found and tested. Now, this solar powered light is made by Produli and it's currently priced at $7.99 on Amazon, although there is an updated version for $9.99 too. And these both come with free delivery. So I think that's fairly cheap. The kit itself comprises of two pieces. The small solar panel that has the charging lead on it and the light itself. The small solar power produces 0.8 watt and it's not big at all. I would say this solar panel is about the same sort of size as a playing card. And probably the same size as a deck of cards, all in all. As I said, this solar panel has a USB attached to it, and that can't be detached from the solar panel. On the end is the micro USB, and it's about 2 meters long. On the light end, it looks like a normal light bulb with a hook on the end. And on the end where the hook is, there's also a micro USB port and the button to turn the light on. Now, this light can also be charged through a micro USB cable from like a laptop or a car charger or something, should you need to. However, I've had mine just on the solar panel and yeah, that's done fine. It's rated at 800 megaamps with a 130 lumen bulb. The bulb is equivalent to sort of a 15 watt incandescent bulb. And it means we get, the manufacturers claim between 4 to 6 hours of useful light from a charge. I've tested this and I'm getting about that for my tests. So I give them that. Obviously, we'll see what happens as we go on throughout the year. It's rated for something like 50,000 light hours, so of running hours. We'll see how that goes. But I'm sure it will deteriorate as time goes on. Now, I've set this up in my little potting shed, and I wanted just to achieve a better light in the evenings. Like at the moment, when it's dark, I can just pop out there and I've got enough light to see my seedlings and things. And it is actually very adequate for that. I wouldn't say the light is enough that if you're doing anything intricate or something you need really good light for, it's not really for that. But if you're just seeing, want to grab a few tools and do some light work, I guess, it's fine for that sort of thing. And I had this set up on some wire that just runs across the potting shed. Just hooked up on there. The solar panel sits inside the shed. And obviously this potting shed, you've probably seen it in the pictures and things. It's very well lit on the inside with sunlight. It's plastic all the way around on the top half. It's basically almost a greenhouse, I guess you could. So it gives plenty of light, and that has meant it has charged very, very well, even through the plastic. Now, the solar panel itself has a sticky back plastic on the back to stick it to something. But other than that, there's no actual real way to secure it in place. And I think this is because the manufacturer states it's not intended for outdoor use, although it is being sold as suitable for camping in sheds and things like that. So my kind of belief is that when they designed it, the idea was to have it inside a window to charge. And if you do want it outside, it may be possible to construct some sort of clear housing to sit it in, should that be required. Now, the hook area I'm not keen on. It basically, it's a bit fiddly because you've got the hook, the USB port and the switch all in fairly small area. And I found when I was trying to hook it up, the USB charger got in the way. I tried doing it with hooking it up and putting it into place, then putting the USB port into it. It was just a bit fiddly. And the switch is a bit on the small side, but once you know where it is and you get into the habit of it, it's fairly easy to find. But I would say that is kind of a very minor complaint, as after once it's installed, it is done and forgotten about. Overall, I'm happy with this light. It works for my little shed and for what I need it for. But when I compare it to the Philips Home Light, the Home Light does outperform it by far. But that's not for sale anymore. So this is a good alternative. And to be fair, at the price, if you need more light, you can have two. In fact, I would actually go to as far as to say that it's probably best to have two. In case one fails, you've got a second backup. Now, there is a newer version of this. As I said earlier, it's a couple quid more, which isn't much. It actually has a bit more power, a bit more light, a bit more battery life, and the solar panel looks like it's a bit more protected. But overall, I think they're well worth the money. And again, on the allotment, it'll probably work very, very well. And if either of these are of interest to you, I've added links to the blog page for this episode, which can be found at veggrowerpodcast.co.uk, and look for episode 136. And if you click on the links that I've put on this blog page, I will get credited with a commission for recommending them, and that doesn't cost you any more. And if you do buy it, and I do recommend them, I would recommend buying them. If you do buy it through those links, the money I earn from it will be reinvested back into the Veg Grower podcast, which is something I'm very keen to do. If you don't want to buy these, of course, but you want to support the show, you can. Again, if you're going to buy anything from Amazon or Sutton Seeds, go to theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk. Down the side, when you go on a computer or laptop, there's a box labelled Support Us, which contains two banners, one for Amazon, one for Sutton's. Click on those, do your shopping, and I get a commission at no extra cost to you. If you're looking on your phone or any other device, then just scroll down. It's all made, designed to be the same almost. So that is it for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Please, if you have, please spread the show. Spread the word. Get a few more listeners. I'm always happy to have more listeners. Any comments, suggestions, get in touch. Been loving hearing from you all lately. It's been really, really good. So with that, please take care, and I'll speak to you all again next time.